venerable religious and dear religious and dear parishioners, I believe it's been about a month since I've been in this pulpit with the travels I've had for the past 3 weeks. And in the sermon today, I would just like to share some of what happened. So I'll begin by talking about the priest meeting in Omaha that we have. It's usually very, very hot and humid there in the Midwest, but obviously a little bit of something to offer up. But this year it wasn't too bad. But definitely one of the highlights of the priest meeting was that Father Alexander Krissoff came from Russia for the meeting. And this is something that he very much wanted to do. It's a matter of finances, as you can imagine how expensive it is. And he did try to cut costs as much as he could, traveling from Moscow to Omaha. He told me about a 12-hour layover he had to make in Heathrow Airport, just trying to sleep in a chair in order to keep the cost of his travel down. But he very much wants to meet with his bishop, Bishop Pivrunis, and spend time with the other priests. And needless to say, we had a lot to talk to him about. We wanted to find out, you know, the insider view of somebody that's living in Russia. I asked him about his chapel that we support with our collection, and some of you choose to give even outside of that. And apparently, if I understood him correctly, I mean, his English is good, but not perfect, so hopefully I'm understanding it correctly. But he said that they had to move the chapel, or actually stop renting in Moscow the chapel for the faithful there because it's so expensive. So it was moved more out to the suburbs. I think their rent is somewhere in the $500 a month area, and they can't sustain that themselves because there's so few of them. But nevertheless, it's very important, I think, that we support Father, support his chapel, and so I'm glad that we are doing that for him. And we also wanted to ask him about the situation going on in Russia. And of course, as we know, there's a standoff right now between Russia and Ukraine. There's Russian separatists in Ukraine who want to bring Ukraine back into the control of Russia. As you know, this past week, a civilian airliner was shot down by a military rocket. It's very unnerving. It's very scary to think of what's going on. And he said that in his estimation, Vladimir Putin, their president or prime minister, or maybe it's more accurate to call him dictator, wants to bring back a lot more control like it was in Soviet times. So definitely something to pray for. In one example of that is he said that Putin wants to rename Volgograd back to Stalingrad. Now remember, it was Stalingrad during the communist era, and then they got rid of that name because of the unbelievable tyranny of Joseph Stalin. But now if he wants to bring that back, he's trying, definitely getting across the idea of I'm controlling everything, and in a tyrannical way. And it is true that in Russia this past year that they did pass anti-homosexual laws where people cannot demonstrate, you know, that perversion in front of others. And some people think, well, maybe that's a pretty good thing on Vladimir Putin's part, that he you know, sign that legislation into law. But according to Father Krissoff, it's more of a political thing for him. It happens to be that the Russian people are very much against that, although there's many other indecencies and modesty going on. They don't want to espouse that one kind, which unfortunately is getting more and more prevalent everywhere else, at least in the Western world. He says, well, it's popular with the Russian people to have that legislation, so we'll do that. So just wanted to give you, share with you what I heard. And, you know, we still have to realize that Russia is an important thing in God's plan. I mean, after all, when Our Lady appeared at Fatima, what did she ask for? Even before the Russian Revolution happened, she said, I want Russia consecrated to my Immaculate Heart. And she wanted the Pope to do it in union with all of the Catholic bishops of the world. And from what I understand, that was never done. Why Russia? I mean, it's one of those head-scratchers, go figure. And yet, that's what Our Lady said. And so we pray for that. Pray that it will be done one day. If it be God's will that a true pope, in union with all true Catholic bishops in the world, will do this very politically incorrect thing, but which was asked by the Mother of God herself, consecrate Russia. And of course, for the whole world, amend your lives, pray the rosary, offer reparation, offer sacrifices. The message of Fatima is just as relevant today as it ever was before. It will always be relevant. That 1917 was the pivotal year, in my opinion, of the whole 20th century. Because depending on how Our Lady's requests were answered or not would determine so many things that would or would not happen. So it was very wonderful to visit with Father Krzysztof. He's his usual, very happy self, and really enjoyed, you know, just having that time with him. And he stays in contact with Father Rissling, one of our priests in Germany. You know, there's this big picture out there, my dear brethren. It's good for us to remember that. It's not just about us here at Mount St. Michael. The traditional Catholic faith, even though we're small in numbers, it is spread through the world. There are faithful Catholics that will not compromise or go along with the new religion of Vatican II. So it was just something to be aware of and pray for the spiritual success of all these missionary efforts in the world. Also, in the driving that I did, and there was some thousands of miles, but I enjoyed it. It was partly business, I suppose you could say, partly pleasure. I was listening to various talks, and of course, good music and educational talks. So that was one of the things I like to do. Anyway, there was a talk that I wanted to listen to that was on Restoration Radio, and this was by Bishop Daniel Dolan and Father Anthony Chicada, who are in the Cincinnati area, and it was on what is the Catholic perspective on sports. Interestingly, in the Gospel for today, the word basket translates as sporta. Interesting. I don't know if there's any connection with that. But anyway, just wanted to listen to this. And as traditional Catholic clergy, they were expressing their concerns about it. And of course, they seemed a little bit negative on it at first. But then they, as they talked about it, they said, keep it, the important thing for us as Catholics is to keep it in perspective. And, of course, they had to lament the fact that so many people who do not practice the Catholic faith, they have made, indeed, sports their god. It's the idol that it's worshipped. People sleep, breathe, and, you know, what is this? It's a saying, you know, sleep, eat, and drink their sport. And that's obviously giving to a material thing or activity the attention that should be given to God. You know, the first commandment tells us not to put strange gods before us. And so we try to keep it in perspective. They didn't say that it was wrong to, you know, to enjoy sports, but to keep it in perspective. And so I think that's what we all try to do in our daily lives, and to have an integrated, and this is the main point I wanted to bring across, this integration of our life together as Catholics, that, you know, even our recreation, that it be done in a Catholic way, that it be done with a reference to God, you might say. You know, God is obviously our most important thing in our life. And even St. Paul says, whether we eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. So we have recreation, we enjoy sports, but we do it in a way that brings glory to God and helps us in the path that we have to going to heaven. And there's, towards the end of the talk, Bishop Dolan says, you know, in the Catholic faith, we aim for this integrity in our daily lives. What does that mean? He says it means for perhaps what is used in the health world is the idea of holistic. Now, what does holistic mean? It means that, for example, if you want to have good health, it's not just something you do, you know, a couple of times a week. It's something you want to try to have your whole life. You know, good diet, good exercise, you know, staying away from junk food, you know, taking perhaps supplements. So it's something that, you know, is throughout your life. And he was saying, as Catholics, we try to have our faith be part of our daily lives, not a separation where, you know, we pray one day and then do no prayer for days on end. It's kind of like a fracturing there of our lives. We try to have our lives be spiritually holistic. That, you know, we're not doing something on Sunday that's, you know, we go to church and then the rest of our lives doesn't, you know, agree with that. We want to have wholeness. We have to want to have integrity. We want to know, love, and serve God every day of our lives. And one of the books that I have found to be, I think, very inspiring in this regard is a book that was written in 1955 by Maria von Trapp. And in this book, she talks about, actually the title of the book is Around the Year with the Trapp Family. And what's inspiring about this book is this idea of spiritual the idea of holistic approach. Where in 1955, this was towards the end of their 20-year singing career as the Trapp family, she was trying to get across how to live the Catholic faith throughout the year and bringing in those good Catholic customs that were in Europe and trying to apply them. And of course, their emphasis in their life was on music. They were the singing family for 20 years. That's how they supported themselves. And so they would, integrating music with their Catholic faith, the liturgical year. And also, there's lots of good music in this book. There's also recipes. It's all part of this holistic approach, how to, you know, live the Catholic faith throughout our daily lives, throughout all the years of our lives, the cycle that begins with our birth and ends with our death. How does it all work together as in our Catholic faith? When I looked at the book, I realized that the copyright was still held by the family, and the book is not being printed at all, so among my travels this past 3 weeks, I did visit the Trapp family lodge in Vermont, It's something I had wanted to do for a long time, and I had hoped when I had planned this trip months and months ago to meet the last surviving Von Trapp of the original seven children, and she passed away in February at 99 and a half years of age. What a celebration that would have been if she had made it to 100. This was the one that was sickly in that the nun from the convent was asked to tutor. Ironically, she outlived her other six siblings. But I did get to visit the family cemetery there. They're all buried there except for one of the seven children who's buried in Vienna. And I prayed for them there, the captain and Maria and six of the children. And I did get to speak with the granddaughter of Maria von Trapp, the mother. And my main purpose in doing so was to see if we can get this book reprinted. And so I'm waiting to hear back from her. I'm asking for your prayers that they will grant permission, whatever arrangement we need to make, so we can reprint this book. Now, granted, it was written in 1955, but you know, our Catholic faith doesn't change. And I think there's a lot of valuable spiritual lessons that we can get from this book. And I'm praying that we can reprint it with whatever financial arrangements the family wants to do it. So anyway, this was just a short sharing of what I was able to do. And let's pray that we can have that holistic approach in our daily lives as Catholics, that we strive to know, love, and serve God, that our Catholic faith informs all of our daily living, and that it will help us get to that place of eternal reward, which we hope to have one day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.